Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
Sports account, and you can earn a $50 bonus on top of your original $50 or more deposit using promo code GET50. That's promo code GET50. The William Hill Nevada mobile sports app allows you to bet on the go from any iPhone, iPad, or Android device from anywhere in Nevada. Sign up today and you'll never miss another bet. With the largest wagering menu, the mobile sports app features live in-play betting on football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, and tennis. For more information, visit williamhill.us. William Hill is a proud partner of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Sound off, Raider Nation. Join JT the Brick weekdays from noon to 2 p.m. from the most interactive talk show in sports talk radio. We are R&R 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Broadcasting live from the Treasure Island Sportsbook, it's In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I want to thank you very much for making my day in the sun so memorable.
What's good, what's good, what's good, Raider fans and NFL fans and football fans, college football fans, NFL football fans, Raider fans, Vinny Bonsignor. I'm live in Pittsburgh. Q Myers, my great colleague, is live over at the Golden Circle Sports Book at the Treasure Island. So if you're nearby, go say hello to Q. I'm sure he's got some hookups one way or another, and it's a lot of fun over at the Golden Circle Sports Bar. In the Huddle, live, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. But before we get started, Q, I got to say something, man. I was listening in on you and DeMond before I came in, and I got to say something to DeMond. DeMond, all right, you got cards to play. We all got cards to play. But let me tell you something, man, and I know Q's got my back on this one. The cards are only as good as you play them, all right? You can't be wasting cards, for crying out loud. You know what I'm talking about, so let's get that cleaned up right away. Secondly, the caller before that who let the world know about a certain something he did to a certain statue that is at the Pittsburgh airport, oh, my God, I'm glad I'd heard that because and I'm glad as I passed it today, I took a picture from a nice socially distanced distance. I'm glad I know what I know now because, and I'm glad I had the wherewithal to not touch that damn thing today in Pittsburgh. Q, man, what the heck is going on, brother?
Hey, man, look, Raider Nation's feeling some kind of way, man. They're not very happy about, you know, Franco and the catch that wasn't a catch, the incompletion. I mean, I've never seen an incompletion celebrated so much, but, you know, it is celebrated in Pittsburgh. They made a statue over incompletion. I mean, think about that.
I got to say that driving to the hotel from the airport, I was, you know, checking in on some of the local sports talk radio here in Pittsburgh, and obviously they were talking about that. They did a good job of going down memory lane because much like Raider Nation understands, especially older fans in the bunch, the 70s, you could talk about, and this is what they were saying, Q, you could talk about the Ravens and the Steelers, you could talk about the Patriots and the Steelers, you could talk about the Browns and the Bengals, you know, some of their natural rivals, division rivals, but there's really no rivalry that compares. I don't care what has happened since, at all, zero. There's no rivalry like that 70s Oakland Raiders Pittsburgh Steelers rivalry. They played each other so many times in so many big games, and it was brutal, bloodthirsty football the way football was played back then. Lines got crossed all over the place on both sides. And I know that Steeler fans like to say that, you know, Atkinson and those guys tried to take Lynn Swann's head off, which, yeah, they actually tried to do that a couple times. But there was some shenanigans from the other side, too. It was just a brand of football that I don't think
few
fans today quite understand.
No, because that's how football was played then. I mean, yeah. It was, you know, and if they went out there and they played that style of football now, there's a 15-yard flag, there's a suspension, there's kicked out the game, there's this, that, and the other, there's fines. I mean, you just can't play. As much as Raider Nation wants to see Jonathan Abram just clean someone's clock, if it looks bad now, that's the thing about it. If it looks like a penalty, it's a penalty. You know what I mean? If it's that big hit and you go, ooh, then it's like, whoop, got to throw the flag.
Just you know what's ironic about all that, Q, and I'm with you. And I look, we all understand why they're doing it. I mean,
right,
it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out. They're trying to keep players safe.
Right. Well, you mentioned brain. They're worried about the brain.
There you go. It was probably a poor choice of words, but actually, you know, as it turns out.
That was perfect. It was perfect.
Yeah. And you're right. And we all understand that, and we all get that. So, you know, what's ironic about it, too, when you really think about this, Q, and we're kind of going off on a little tangent, but why not? Let's go down some memory lane right now, because it is Steelers against the Raiders. And for our younger listeners, maybe we could give you a little bit of a history lesson here and maybe inspire you to go, you know, to YouTube and go check out there's some great videos on YouTube of this rivalry. It was a special time in the NFL, without question. But you know what's so ironic about that? And I remember being at a it was at the NFL office and Commissioner Goodell would host some writers and broadcasters and whatnot. Every year we would do it, and we were in his office and we were talking about they were explaining some new rules, you know, some of the newer rules that's led us to where we are, trying to take the helmet out of the game, trying to take the head out of the game as a weapon, you know, with the helmet. You know, they had videos and everything and explaining why they were doing what they were doing, what hits, you know, they're trying to eliminate, why they were doing that. And this was still at a time when, and I brought this up to him, and he really didn't have an answer for me. But I was like, you do realize that you could go to, and I'm going to date myself a little bit here, Q, but you could go to Blockbuster Videos or a video store. And literally, and I know you know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
And literally order the best hits of the season. I mean, so on one hand, and I don't know if those are even made anymore. I don't think that they are. But he even was like, yeah, you know, you're kind of right about that. Because on one hand, you're trying to eliminate, you know, and make the game safer, and rightfully so. But on the other hand, there was no question that the NFL profited from that. I mean, they literally marketed videotapes.
Of course.
Because I know I got them, and I'm pretty sure you did too back in the day, of like the biggest crunching hits. And there were some vicious hits, Q.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what the game was. I mean, they were going for the home run hits. I mean, they were just going for those big time, you know, buyouts and all that. I mean, yeah, there was features and you know, NFL Network, before it was NFL Network, they used to show those all the time. Top 10 hits and all, you know, all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it was. But it's so funny you mentioned Blockbuster, man. Blockbuster for the kids, Blockbuster was Netflix and chill before you could Netflix and chill.
Yes.
I wore my Blockbuster card out, man. Date after date after date. What do you want to do? Let's go to Blockbuster. You know what I mean? That meant that you were going to go get a video and take it to the house and hope for the best.
Sometimes you find a date at Blockbuster. You know, you run into somebody at Blockbuster. Oh, hey, I haven't seen her in a long time. Hey, what are you doing? You know, so I'm not sure if that was going on in your neighborhood, but my neighborhood every once in a while. And there were some hookups even there. Because it was packed. And you had to get there early to get your movie. You know, otherwise you were out of luck and you had to watch something that you like for like an 18th time,
because right?
You couldn't get yours. Be kind, rewind.
Yeah,
we all know that. We all know that, Jill.
That's hilarious.
Hey, how many times did you? Let me ask you this: since we're going down memory lane, what was your biggest fine? Would you say, like, you don't even have to be, you don't have to.
Carla Rossi.
how much did you end up paying? Did you just buy the damn thing?
Oh, that's a movie. Oh, I thought you. Oh, my bad.
No, yeah.
I thought you were asking about the girl. My bad.
Oh, no.
My bad.
As I'm Googling Carla Rossi or whatever.
No, that was my bad. Oh.
All right, so, whoops. No, what I was saying to you was, you remember how, like, you know, like, we were young and stupid sometimes, and you were supposed to bring it back within 3 days, or you're supposed to bring it back within a week. And it ended up, like, in the bottom of your car. Oh, I'll get it. I don't know why, you know, we were so stupid to do that. But I had a couple of, you know, that were, like, you know, probably arrest warrants might have been issued for that movie. And it was, like, I'll just pay the $30, whatever it is. What is it, $30? I'll just pay the $30.
Something
so I was just
like
asking
that,
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you remember, if there was any blatant Q Myers, you know, movies that you rented and that maybe never made its way back.
You know, which one was always the one I never took back was Delirious. I never took Delirious back. And the funny thing is, I had it so long that I just had to start going to different video stores. Like I was at Blockbuster for a while, then I was at like Hollywood Video, then I was at the little corner store video. Like I kept just like bouncing away because I had bad, you know, faulty accounts. So
right, I got you. I saw Delirious live. How about that?
Did you really?
Yeah, it was.
Are
at
you
the
serious?
What's that?
You're serious? You saw Delirious live?
I saw pretty much every concert that Eddie Murphy did live.
Wow!
But I remember seeing Delirious over at Universal Theater, the theater that they had over at Universal, and you know that was back in the day where, like, after the show, like you can kind of make your way down to the front row, you know, just to like praise whoever the artist was. So do that. I'm heading back up, you know, to exit, and who did I run into? Richard Pryor was there.
Wow.
And I shook his hand. I was like, dude, you have no idea what you mean to me, period. And I don't know if I washed that hand for a couple of weeks, because that was, I love Eddie Murphy. He's probably number two for me.
Right.
But number one is Richard Pryor. And I know today's, you know, contemporary kids, you know, I would urge anyone to go watch some videos of him or just listen to his albums. You know, they have him on YouTube as well.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, he was the top. But yeah, to see Eddie Murphy live and then walking away and running into Richard Pryor, who was there to support and watch him, that was quite the memory. But we're taking a little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, man. People talk about me making left turns, man. We done made a left. We went back right. We made a U-turn or a complete U, like my mom, or a complete circle. I don't know. My mom used to call it something, a complete U-turn. Yeah, that's what she said. Make a complete U-turn, which, duh.
Which
you
is
gotta
all
make,
good because we are talking
about.
You got
to make a complete U-turn.
Yeah, and we are talking about Raiders, Steelers. And it kind of dawned on, you know, like when you almost have to leave sometimes and get out of town to go to the other places, home, to kind of get that sense of what it means. Because they're literally talking about it on their radio shows. Like, hey, and you know what? Recently, I didn't know this until I did a little bit of research. But for whatever reason, and they were talking about this today, Q, the Raiders have the Steelers' number. It's like
they're
uncanny.
5-2. The last seven games, they're 5-2.
Yeah, and they've won three of the last four. If I could trust the commentator today that I was listening to, so three of the last four. There's been some crazy shenanigans. It doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
Because typically the Raiders have been down and the Steelers have been up.
Yep.
But you know, different names, different quarterbacks.
Yep.
Gradkowski was brought up.
That was a famous game, man. That game. That was one. That game, me and Little Q, was we were living together in this condo in Fresno, and the next-door neighbor was a big Steeler fan. And so every time the Steelers scored in that game, the neighbor would pound on the door, on the wall. And then every time the Raiders scored, we'd pound on the wall. And so it was back and forth. So it was just like a battle, but it was just between the walls because we were so close. It was just like bang, bang, bang. And then the Raiders won that game, so Little Q started dancing and really pounding on the wall. It was great. So yeah,
ever been in one of those situations where either you or the next-door neighbor had something that was like about 4 or 5 seconds ahead? I hate that, man.
I do
because,
too.
Yeah, because you're hearing and you're like, what just happened? And then you finally see what happened on your TV or vice versa. So it could get like that sometimes.
My mom used to do that to me because I was bootlegging the Raider games and she always was able to watch them live. And so I would be on a stream, and so all of a sudden she'd text me and say, "Oh, needed that one," or "That was a big one." And I was like, "What was a big one?" Then all of a sudden, like 2 minutes later, it's like, "Oh, interception!" I was like, "Oh, yeah, mom was right."
Or like that wasn't holding, and you're like,
"Right,
oh, no,
right,
what happened?"
Exactly. Yes.
So,
yes. We are
but
so
okay,
old.
So we will talk about the past, but obviously, all focus is on the next 48 hours and Sunday's game here in Pittsburgh, which is where I am against the Steelers. Bad news, obviously. I think it was all headed in this direction, Q, in terms of Josh Jacobs being down for Sunday. What were your thoughts? I'm sorry I wasn't able to listen to most of the show earlier, but general thoughts on Josh Jacobs being out.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, man, because he's that workhorse. You know, I mean, I just feel like the offense flows better even when he's in the game. I feel like that there's just more confidence in the running game when he's there. I know Kenyon Drake is a really good player. I'm excited about what he could bring to the table. But Josh Jacobs almost is that soothing voice. You know, he's almost that soothing. You feel confident when he's in the game. You see 28 out there, you're thinking, okay, things are fine. I mean, you were in the press box when he had that nice 15-yard run where, and I know he was hurting and he was banged up, but he had a couple cuts on that run, and it just looked like, man, he's just smooth as silk. You know what I mean? So it's like you have a lot of confidence when Jacob's in the game. He won't be there. That's unfortunate. I've been having people text me. It's funny, when John Gruden told us today in the media session that he wasn't playing, we all immediately tweeted that out. And then like 3 minutes later, Schefter put it out, and then all of a sudden it's like breaking news. And we're like, man, we all put that out 3 minutes ago. But
oh, man. Yeah,
you know how that goes. You know how that goes. But, yeah, oh, man, yeah. It's a big deal. But, hey, you know, I hate to say it. It's the NFL, and people always say next man up. I always say if the next man was as good as the first man, he'd been the first man and not the next man. But it is what it is. You know, I mean,
yeah.
you got to roll with what you got. So you have Kenyon Drake, who's a jack of all trades. He could do multiple things. You have Peyton Barber, who they went and decided they wanted to bring off Washington's football team's practice squad. And then you have Trey Regis that you could also bring in there and sprinkle in as well. So they have guys that can get it done. You just don't have Josh Jacobs.
Right. Let me throw a couple things at you. Number one, I think it would be a little bit different cue if, let's say this was the fifth or sixth game, you know, and Josh Jacobs was a guy that was running for $1.50 and $1.60. Like, it was that important, you know.
Right.
But they won a game just
yep.
a few days ago, actually, with kind of a minimal amount of production from him. Do you think that may help a little bit? Like, not discounting the loss whatsoever, and the Raiders are going to need him for the bulk of the season, and so this is good for him to try to get healthy. You know, we'll talk about that too, because this could be something that lingers. But do you think that because it's not like they're so overly reliant on him, if there's a player that they can deal with being out for a game, maybe it's Josh Jacobs.
Well, yeah, and I think, and I said this a little earlier in the show, I said that I think that Derek Carr is going to be quick with the ball anyway. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to have a lot of quick, short passes and, you know, kind of get the ball out that way because, again, the Steelers have that, you know, that pass rush, man. They have Cam Hayward. They have T.J. Watt. They have guys that can get after Melvin Ingram. I mean, they got dudes, you know. So I think that they're going to try to slow down that pass rush by the quick passing game. So I think that you're going to see Derek Carr. This may be a game, as much as I'm not a big fan of it, might be a game you see him throw the ball 50 times like you saw him throw it 50-plus last week. I mean, you just – it might be the case, and that might be what they have to do. And Kenyon Drake is a guy who can catch the ball in the backfield and then make some magic happen. So I know that there's ways to have the running game without necessarily having the running game. It's you know, like that short, quick, you know, passing game is almost like a long run. You know what I mean? So I think that that's going to be an element of the game as well.
Yards after catch, and put guys yep. in space, and,
yep.
and run your game that way if that's what you got to do. And you're right. Every game – you know, unfolds the way it's going to unfold, and the key is you got to just do whatever you got to do, whatever colors you have to paint with, to paint the masterpiece of a W is what you have to do.
Yep.
I brought this up a couple of days ago on the show, Q. I remember Kobe Bryant talking about, you know, the criticism he gets for shooting the ball too much, right? And he brought up the movie Mozart. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Mozart, but
nope.
It was a great movie.
It wasn't in a Blockbuster when I went to get it.
There you go. But there was a a classic scene in that movie, and this really happened. This is the whole thing. And you know, Kobe, being the world renowned man that he is, he literally brought this up when asked the question about him shooting too much. Okay, so in this movie Mozart, he writes a symphony. It's a great symphony. He's a young man. He writes this great symphony. He gives it to the king, I think, of England. Or France, one of those countries, and says, you know, well, what do you think after the symphony? What do you think? And the king was kind of this putz, simple minded dude, and he's like, I don't know, there were just too many notes. I think there's just too many notes. And Mozart's like looking at him incredulously and like, too many notes? There's never too many notes, too little notes. You do what you got to do to write your symphony. Like, that's whatever you got to do, you do. And that's what Kobe brought up. Like, it's never about shooting too much or too little. It's what I think I need to do to win a basketball game. So
right.
if it's 30 shots a game in a game, not that I'm setting out to do that,
right?
But that's what the game demanded. Or 5 shots. Maybe I only have to shoot 5 times. I don't know if that ever happened, but
right.
you know, that's the point. So it's not ideal that the Raiders dropped back and threw it 56 times on Monday right. at all.
No.
And I don't think it's sustainable, and I don't think that's something that they need to be doing a lot of. But we come to this game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, just like you said. Maybe that's the recipe that you got to cook up for these first couple of weeks, trying to bridge the gap back to a healthy Josh Jacobs.
Right, exactly. And the thing about that is, and this is what I've been trying to tell everybody, everyone wants, hey, just rest Josh Jacobs for a little while, let him get healthy. He's got a toe injury.
Yeah.
It's a toe injury, and anyone who's played any kind of sports that have ever had, and I've had broken toes before, and there's nothing you can do about it except for, well, you just have to let it rest. But how long do you let it rest? When does Josh Jacobs heal? You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to heal anytime soon. He's got a plate in his cleat, and he's going to have to do the best he can. So maybe he feels a little bit better following this week, but he's still going to be banged up. It doesn't get much better.
I don't even know what to say about that. Honestly, I you don't want to be an alarmist at all, and we don't know. That's the other part. We don't know how bad it is,
right.
what the exact injury is. So you don't want to speculate. But when you start operating in the world of toes with the
right.
running back, any player for that
yep.
matter,
yep.
but with the running back, let's face it, it's not like a quarterback where you could kind of manage it sometimes,
exactly,
depending on what the plant foot is and all that. But
yep.
It just doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be an alarmist, but not feeling good about that.
No, I mean, you have 17-game season, and you have a toe injury in week one. You know that that's going to be something. I mean, and Josh Jacobs is that guy who will run 2 yards and, boom, put his foot in the dirt. Isn't that what we always say? Put your foot in the dirt and go. That's what he
exactly.
does.
Exactly.
And when he puts his foot in the dirt, guess what happens? That toe gets irritated. It's just
exactly.
a reality. You cannot stop it from happening.
Yep. So obviously the Raiders are like you said, it's next man up. No excuses. There's still, to me, an opportunity to win this game. I think they have, and that's I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But that goes to the depth that I think that they have put together this year. Now it's being tested early, probably far too early. I know it's far too early than they wanted it to be tested,
right.
without question. You don't want to be in the situation in game two. However, right. the key is putting the depth in place so that whenever it happens, you're in a better position to deal with injuries to whatever position you're talking about. And Q, I think whether you're talking about the defensive line, even in the secondary, the offensive line, you already saw a couple of guys come in there and lock it down pretty well,
yeah,
pretty darn well as backups. And now running back with Kenyon Drake. That was a head scratcher at the time. I'll never forget the text back I got when I was doing a little bit of, so what was the thought process behind that? Have you seen how many games we play this year?
Right.
Yeah, 17. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
do the
yeah.
math.
Exactly.
And understand what Josh Jacobs has been through the first two seasons. So to me, at the time, it made a ton of sense. I don't care about the money and never
right.
cared about money.
Yeah.
It ain't my money or anybody
exactly.
else's. So I thought that was a pretty good signing.
Yeah, no, I did too. I was excited about that signing when they made that signing for that exact reason. I mean, that's a 1-2 punch with Jacobs and Drake, and Drake could do so many things. He's so versatile, and that's the other thing that a lot of people didn't look at. They just looked at him as a running back because that's his title, but he can catch the ball in the backfield. He can return kicks. I mean, he could do a lot of good things that can be an element into John Gruden's offense. Well, now they have to fast track it, and he's going to be needed to be that guy early in the season. You know, he's going to have to be leaned on a little bit more than anyone was expecting, because you expected to have Josh Jacobs healthy for, quite a while before maybe, he misses some time or whatever happens. But unfortunately, this is the nature of the beast. That's just how football goes. And so Kenyon Drake's going to be leaned on a little bit. And I think that John Gruden's going to be able to look at him and say, this is how I'm going to scheme this up. This is what I'm going to do. And that's – I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that. I'm excited about what he could do. He had 5 catches on Monday for 59 yards. I mean, think about that. That's, that's 11 catch. That's 11 yards a catch. That's a first down. Kenyon Drake was able to do that. He had 11 yards rushing, but he averaged 11 yards a catch on Monday. So the dude can make things happen.
No question about it. Also, where I go, my eye is looking at it right now. I know that there's no game status put on him, but Denzel Perryman with the hip limited at practice
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
The reason that my eyes go there, Q, is Nick Kwiatkowski's out with the concussion.
Yep.
So what happens yep. behind him? And we're going to talk about this, but But that's where a guy like KJ Wright comes into play, because he has played all those linebacker positions.
Yep.
So there might be a little bit of mixing and matching going on there as well. Unique Ngakoue, it looks like he's going to give it a go with the hamstring injury. Give him a lot of credit for getting back. Carl Nassib, pectoral toe, questionable. It's not looking good, but you know, when you start thinking, okay, Unique Ngakoue limited, Carl Nassib. Oh, by the way, they've got a guy by the name of Clee Farrell who's coming back this week. So, again, you're talking about depth. It just seems a lot better this year than it was in the past.
Yeah, I do. I agree. And we'll see. We'll see what Clee can do. I think Clee's a major factor, man. I mean, he's a guy that, in my opinion, was a healthy scratch on Monday. And it sounded like that when Gus Bradley talked to the media yesterday that, you know, to get back on the field, I think he answered your question, as a matter of fact. He's got to, you know, show. He's got to show what he could do. So we'll see. I think he's going to be needed in a major way on Sunday. And if he steps up, then maybe he stays on the field a little longer than expected.
Yep, absolutely. You're listening to In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Q Myers. Q Myers is over at the Golden Circle Sportsbook at the Treasure Island, so go say hi. I'm here in Pittsburgh getting ready for the game on Sunday. We want your calls, so hit us up. When we get on the other side, we'll continue to talk about the theme of the day, the theme of the week. How do the Raiders overcome these injuries to go to Pittsburgh and come out with the win? You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, Lincoln Kennedy, or excuse me, Q Myers. Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM in the huddle.
Welcome back to In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, live from the Treasure Island Sportsbook.
Bonsignore. At 7:30 in the morning,
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a football Friday. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Q Myers. Q is over at the Golden Circle Sportsbook at the Treasure Island. So if you're somewhere by the Strip or anywhere nearby, go say hi to Q. It's a great setting. I'm sure the TVs are blaring right now with all sorts of sports, college football, baseball, everything else that's going on in the sports world right now. I'm in Pittsburgh. I'll be here covering the game on Sunday. And oh, by the way, looking at the weather report, it looks like it's going to be in the 80s on Sunday. So a little bit of humidity. Okay. It was a little bit humid today when I got here. But Q,
yes.
I've been here in some hellacious weather. So I would think that this was probably the best time of year to come play Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, I bet it is. And it's funny that you're there right now, because I'm here and I literally have a dry fit jacket on and I have pants on today, which is very unusual. But the weather here is kind of funky a little bit. You know, it's like raining earlier. It's supposed to storm. But yeah, I got a jacket and pants on today, believe it or not.
Well, I heard somebody say earlier this week, Q, and I was ready to get on my knees and thank the Lord up above, because I think it was on Wednesday, somebody locally had said, this is going to be the last day of triple digit weather in Las Vegas. I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Because it's a grind. I know you just moved, you know, how long you been here? A couple months now, I guess?
Yeah, I got here in July, but I came from Texas. So, I mean, when people ask me all the time, like, oh, how are you dealing with the heat? I was like, I came from Texas.
That's true.
It's hot and humid and disgusting and nasty. And by the way, the bugs are super big. At least when I sit in the backyard at night, there's no bugs that bother me. I love sitting in the backyard because I don't have bugs that surround me. In Texas, the bugs look like they're as big as birds. So yeah,
no scorpions yet. Have you? Oh
no, I'm a Scorpio, so scorpions they'll just gravitate to me like we're
okay.
Homeboys.
All right, yeah, my brother's a Scorpio, so I know you guys well.
Yeah, exactly. Hey man, so hey, if you believe one rumor, believe them all, man. Everything
all right.
about a Scorpio
no doubt about
is real.
It. No doubt about it.
Yes, sir.
I'm a Sagittarius. I just chill. So
there you go.
I'm all good.
Hey, we did get a text real quick, Vinny, on the Salmon Ash text line at 69187. I meant to pass this on to you earlier.
Go for it.
How old is Vinny? Delirious came out in 83.
All right, yeah. So I was in high schoolish right there. I was in high schoolish right there. So, but we lived in Los Angeles. Like I grew up in a place called Ventura, but I had older cousins and an older brother. And so we were down there all the time. My brother DJ'd, and you know, we had friends that DJ'd, so we were always down on Sunset, shopping for records over at Tower Records. So
nice.
We didn't want, you know, we knew that there was something beyond just Ventura. So
yeah.
If some, and those were those days. And let's go down memory lane one more time here, Q. Remember how you used to get concert tickets? You would go like to your local radio or
yes.
TV, your album store.
Tower or warehouse.
We went to warehouse, exactly. Yep, we had a warehouse in Ventura.
Yep.
And it was so funny because when you would go see Earth, Wind & Fire or Prince or whatever at the Forum, it was just a pack of people from your town. Like, I'm thinking now that they just gave, like, it was just like, okay, here's the Ventura tickets.
Right.
Here's the San Pedro tickets. Here, you know, so it was just like uncanny. You're looking around going, hey, there's so-and-so. There's so-and-so. How'd we all end up in the same darn section of the stadium?
Yeah, yeah. So, that's where Carlo Rossi always showed up. Carlo Rossi showed up everywhere, boy.
I'm going to find out who that is, man. You don't know the powers that I have, Q. So I'm going to.
Well, get on it, brother. I've been looking for years.
What did you do to her, Q?
I'm still trying to figure that out, my man. I'm still trying to figure that out.
All right.
Mama Q knows Carla.
We'll get to the bottom of that. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Joe is on the line, wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good, man. How are y'all? Y'all doing good? Chilling, Q, right?
Yep,
right?
Chilling, yep.
Dude, absolutely. I got several things, bro, I want to say. First of all, Q, bro, I followed your career. I mean, I've listened to you for like 6 years, dude, all the way back since you were on like Black Hole Banner and all that. And that's
nice.
All that you were doing. So it's been really cool to like talk to you, follow your career. Like, you're living the Raider fan's dream. So I just like, it's just really cool to like see what you're doing now. So
Thank you. Keep going.
Keep it up.
Thank you.
But with the game this Sunday, I'm glad I'm not playing in the game because I'm just now coming down from Monday night. So I've not been locked in at all. Like, I'm glad I'm not like these guys who have to do it, but I think what we're going to see Sunday, and I'd love to get y'all's thoughts on this, is I think we're going to see Leatherwood. I mean, he's got it. Like, this is his first test. Like, Justin Houston, like, that was a test. But he's going to be matched up against T.J. Watt here.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a key to victory. I think we need to see Derek play to the top 10 level that he can, because, like, on Monday night, you know, he had to lock in. I mean, that was top 10 quarterback play to lead a team down the field. We need to see that continue. And something that has not really been talked about is that hit that Jonathan Abram had on that third and nine or over the middle or maybe a second down against Mark Andrews that in overtime. It was second down in overtime to knock the ball out. We're going to need him to continue to play smart against Chase Claypool and anything like that. So, but, yeah, love you guys' show. Vinny, thankful for y'all. Yeah, love to hear y'all's thoughts.
Thanks, brother. Really appreciate it. You're why we do this, all of you guys. We're truly honored and blessed to be doing what we're doing.
And Vinny, real quick, I think that didn't you – because he mentioned Jonathan Abram and that play he made in overtime, and that was a huge play, but I think you brought that up. Didn't you bring that up on the show yesterday?
Yeah.
Thanks
for pointing that out, because I think it's big, Q, what I'm about ready to say. So doing a little bit of research on, you know, on Abram, and we know that, look – he's had issues, you know, in the past. And at times, he's been more of a liability than an asset. And that's just keeping it straight, keeping it honest. Okay, so here's the thing. On Monday night, Jonathan Abram was targeted five times, gave up three passes. All right, he was credited with three pass completions of the five times he was targeted. On one hand, you go, that's okay, I guess, right? However, of those three catches, they went for 16 total yards, so about 5.3 yards per catch, all right? Mm-hmm. I went back and looked at his numbers last year. He gave up I think 31 receptions he gave up last year of the 50 or so times he was targeted. Q, the average per catch on his receptions given up last year was over 20. So that's what the Raiders need. You're going to give up pass completions in the NFL. It's just too damn easy to throw for a quarterback to throw to a wide receiver. It just is. Every rule out there is conducive to that, helping make that happen, unless you're sitting on your back because you got sacked. Okay, so you understand, you go in understanding chances are you're going to give up some completions. The key is take the guy down, mitigate and manage the aftermath of that catch.
Yeah.
If that's where he can be, playing the position that he's playing, where he's able to get where he needs to get to, minimize the damage, and, you know, keep it in front of the chains, the Raiders will take that every single day.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. And I'll tell you, and I said this earlier during training camp and preseason, and a lot of people are like, oh, you're a Abram hater, and I'm not at all. I just know that his potential is greater than what he has shown so far in his career. And one, being healthy is part of it. So you know, getting through games is always a victory just because he's been banged up because of the style that he plays. So with that being said, he is playing with a lot more confidence. Even when he talks to the media, and you were there when he talked yesterday, he just sounds like he's more focused. Ron Miles has said it. We asked him to tone it down a little bit. He's toned it down, and it just seems like he's understanding what they're supposed to do. When I think you asked the question about him being, or the defense being more confident, and he said the whole team, the whole building is more confident this year about the team. Wasn't that you that asked that question yesterday?
I think it was Adam who asked the question about the confidence.
Okay.
But yeah, and it was a great answer, I thought.
Yep.
And it kind of speaks to what we've been observing for some time now. And I, you know, even in OTAs, texting some players, you know, hey, how did it go? What are you guys feeling? You know, that sort of thing. And the response was, these guys were champing at the bit, man. Even when it closed down, when the offseason program closed down, I remember Alec Ingold told, I said, hey, you enjoy the break. See you at training camp. You know, break. There's no break, man. We're going to work harder these next 40X days than we did, you know, during OTAs. I'm like, holy cow, man. And it's not just talk. It's serious. And I think all of that leads to what Jonathan is talking about in terms of the confidence. I completely pick up and have been picking up, and I know you have too, Q, on a different perception that the Raiders have of themselves. Forget what Mel Kiper thinks of the draft. Forget about what, you know, any pundit out there, myself, yourself included, has to say.
Agreed.
None of that matters.
Right.
It's what you feel about yourself and what you understand and believe you're capable of. And I always sensed, Q, a hesitancy over the last year or so. Not this year, but going back to last year. A hesitancy. You know, hey, 6-2, you know, da-da-da. Howard,
right.
You know, wait, there's still some things got to get done. You know, I got to fix this. There was never a we're here type of a response. Nobody's come out and said we're here right now because everything is always a work in progress.
Of course.
But the feedback, Q, behind the scenes and out there is just so much different than what it has been. And it, to me, speaks of a confidence level.
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing about it is, Vinny, we've been talking about it, and people called in. I know my guy Aaron in Maui, he called in. Multiple guys have called in. My guy Peg Leg Raider in San Antonio called in and said, you and Vinny are responsible if the season doesn't go the way we're all expecting, because you guys have been talking about what you're seeing at training camp, and you're talking about this team is different. And of course, we're not just going to blow smoke up anyone's backside. If we think the team is different, and it's different than what we've been seeing the last couple of years, and of course, you up close to personal, I've been up close to personal just this year, but it does feel different. And that's why when we went into Allegiant Stadium on Monday to watch this game, I said, I feel very confident that the Raiders could win this game by 3. Well, they turned around and won it by 6. I have actually said, I believe that the Raiders win this game against Pittsburgh by 3 on the road. And I'm not saying that as a homer. I'm not saying that as I'm trying to pump up Raider Nation and give them false hope. I believe the Raiders could win this game by 3 points based off the fact that their offense could do some good things. And I have confidence in the defense. It's playing different than what we've seen the past few years. They can win this game. They've got to go in there and play a clean game. It's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination, but they can win the game.
We're going to get to a caller here in just 1 second, but I want to piggyback on that, Q. They won that game by 6 points the other night, falling down 14-0. So put that a little bit in perspective. So number one. And number two, and I asked my listeners this all week, was there any point – even when they're down 14-0, even when Derek Carr was struggling, in your heart of hearts, were you genuinely worried that Derek Carr wasn't going to get it together, or were you confident that he was going to get it together? Now, from my perspective, somebody that's covering the team, I wasn't worried, happy, sad, anything.
Right.
I'm just watching the game.
Right,
but
for sure.
I can tell you this. I felt, as somebody who covers this team, he's going to get it together. I've seen Derek Carr struggle at times. Every quarterback can struggle from time to time. My thought process was he's going to get it together. What I was more focused on, and what was not surprising to me but telling to me, was that in the meantime, this defense is playing pretty good. I know they were down 14-0, but it was it wasn't it, in the past, that would have been 28-0 if Carr struggles the way he struggled in that first quarter. It would have been a calamity. But it wasn't. They kept it within striking distance. Next thing you know, they go score a touchdown to make it 14-7. At that point, I felt like they're right back in this game. And then they made it 14-10 going into halftime, all the better. But to you, was there any point in that game early on that you were genuinely worried that Derek Carr wasn't going to get it settled down and get it figured out?
No, you know what? I kept thinking that it was a lot of rust that we were seeing, you know, in the press box. We could see a lot of rust on the team, and I even tweeted out, this looks like an offense that hasn't had any preseason action. That's what it felt like. It felt like a team that didn't have any preseason action. They were trying to get in sync with each other. But the thing about it, Vinny, and this is from my point of view, I've been, you know, going to Raider games. I've been rooting on the Raiders my whole life. I mean, I know kind of the ebbs and flows of how a Raider game goes. And so there's always a point where a Raider fan says, all right, this one's in the books. It's over. I never thought that. And I had confidence that, oh, okay, the Raiders defense is out there. Don't worry. They'll get the ball back. I haven't said that in years. I haven't said that in years. But I said that on Monday. I said, oh, that's fine. The Raiders will get the ball back. Oh, they got them pinned in the, you know, deep in their own end zone? No problem. They'll get the ball back. It's all good. And that's what they were able to do. When A.J. Cole, who probably doesn't get enough props, did a really good job as the punter to flip the field, I thought, oh, don't worry, the defense will get it back, because I felt confident that they knew what they were doing and they were going to make it happen.
It's a strange and unusual feeling, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it
is. For a Raider fan recently. Yes. To be able to rely on that defense. I also felt, yes, I felt there was some rust that needed to be shaken off. But I also felt, Q, and maybe I'm wrong, but this was kind of what I was feeling. I felt like everything that led up to that game, the fans in the stands, the stage of Monday Night Football, the expectations that we know and can feel over at the Raider facility, the desire to make a big statement early on. I just felt like it was a little bit, they weren't responding to the bigness of what was going on, and it was actually having an adverse effect. I just felt like Carr's just got to get settled down, start spreading the ball around a little more. They're going to be okay. The curiosity was the defense, and I'll tell you what, they checked off a box to me on Monday that they could be relied on. Complimentary football is something we haven't talked about with the Raiders in a long time, and there was complimentary football going on where one side of the ball could rely on the other. Special teams stepped up in a way, like you just mentioned, A.J. Cole. We didn't even write about him, talk about him, but that dude had a hell of a game on Monday night, and that's important. You have to have that. And, of course, Daniel Carlson with a 55-yard kick. None of this happens without Daniel booting a 55-yard field goal to push it back into overtime. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Q Myers. I'm in Pittsburgh. Q is over at the Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sports Book. Go check him out and say hi if you can. And when we get back, we'll get to the callers. So Robert in San Jose, please hold on. We're going to get right back to you.
Welcome back to In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, live from the Treasure Island Sports Book.
Gonna let that ride out.
I was expecting something, but all good. We are gonna go out to the Raider Nation.
What were you expecting? Robert. No, hold on, Doc. What were you expecting? Is what I want to know.
I thought we were gonna have a quote from earlier today, but all good. Because you know how like on the cell phone you can see when somebody's read something, so you're just gonna assume that.
Oh, wow.
And then I got the no in the middle of that song being played.
Instead,
we're gonna go right out to the listener line. Robert is in San Jose. How you doing, Robert?
I'm pretty good, Vinny. Thanks for taking my call. Tell you what I was thinking during the first quarter of that game was remember you talking about the Rams not playing any of their starters during preseason and going to the Super Bowl. And I was thinking how rusty Derek Carr looked and how the fact that he was going to Waller and Renfro, the guys he kind of played with last year, represented the fact that he didn't get any playing time during preseason with Ruggs and Edwards and Moreau and getting used to going to them. And when he did start to go to them more often in the fourth quarter, that's when the offense really started to open up. So I was thinking about you saying preseason wasn't important in terms of getting those guys some work. In terms of two questions I have for you, do you think we'll see a little more Foster Moreau and 12 personnel just to deal with T.J. Watt? And is what's the word on Clee Farrell? Is he going to play this weekend?
Yeah, I believe Clee Farrell plays today. By the way, that Rams 2018 team that went to the Super Bowl, they opened up against the Raiders. And I think the Raiders, I'm looking at it right now, yeah, they led 13-10 at halftime. So yeah. The Rams, without question, were rusty to go into that game. And then they came back and outscored the Raiders 23-0 in the second half. They got it together. So that's why, yes, I do believe, Q, there's going to be some rust in that kind of a situation. But you just have to – it's a 17-game schedule. That, right. In 2018, it was 16 games. You have time to get it together, even if it's not clicking right off the bat. But again, Q, what we talked about, that's where complementary football comes into play. If right. one side of the ball has to get it together or shake off the rust, you have to be able to rely on somebody else to hold it down for you until that time comes.
Yeah, you do. And the thing about it is, the way that the Raiders ended that game, I feel pretty confident that they're on the same page now. I really do. I feel like that Derek Carr has got a lather going up where he's feeling good about himself, and he's you know, he's ready to roll, and I think that they'll start the game much quicker than they did against Baltimore, and I think they need to. I think they need to be able to start the game a lot quicker. So I'm excited to see how they follow up that performance that they had Monday night, because, again, that was Monday night. It was just a couple nights ago. And so it's a short week. They're battered and bruised. They don't have all their guys out there that they want, but they're still a team that believes that they can go out there and win. And so I just think, I don't know, I think it's going to be a very competitive game. I picked the Raiders to win by 3, and I just think that there's a lot of elements to this game. Now, I did want to pass along this tweet real quick, and my guy S. Jonas NFL Photos tweeted it at us. He said, who's better today, Roethlisberger or Derek Carr? For me, it isn't close. Carr, better decision-making, less turnovers, and better athlete. Who would you rather have at the line of scrimmage pre-snap, Carr or Ben? Again, I take Carr, Gruden, and talent. And I'll say this, I get it. Carr is doing really well, but Big Ben's been there and done that. You know, and, you know, there's certain athletes and certain players in games, and I'm not saying I would take Big Ben over Carr. I think it's almost a push since we're here at the Treasure Island. Why not call it a push? I think it's more of a push because what Big Ben lacks in, like, athleticism and other things, he'll make up for in something else. When veterans get older, when really star athletes get older, they find ways to reinvent themselves where they can still squeak out extra play in them. You know, I mean, it's just, and Vinny, you know, I mean, you covered Kobe Bryant. You know, as he got older, he wasn't jumping out the gym and dunking on everybody, but he would do the little Michael Jordan fadeaway, and it was still effective because they still scored 2 points. Guys that are really exceptional athletes find ways to reinvent themselves. So I kind of think that both quarterbacks are on the same page.
I'm going to push back a little bit. I think Derek Carr at this stage of his career is clearly better than Ben okay. Roethlisberger. They've been talking about it on the radio all day today. As far as of the 32 pass attempts that Ben threw or attempted against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, none of them went more than I don't think he even got close to a 20-yard throw. In fact, I'm looking at it, average yards 6.5 on his 32 throws. Average yards per play on the pass play was 5.8 yards. So, yeah, he's probably reinvented himself as a watered-down quarterback at this stage who is either – and this was the big question today on the on
I don't know here. About that, Benny. I don't know he's a watered-down quarterback.
39
he's still,
years old.
He's still good.
39 years old, coming off a major, what was it, a shoulder injury or shoulder surgery that or elbow?
Yeah, the elbow injury, yeah.
Okay, surgery that knocked him out 2 years ago for basically a full season, coming back from that. But I'm just going off what they're saying today,
yeah.
What I was hearing today, and it was, is Ben not throwing the ball or is it a case of he can't throw the ball long anymore? Because it goes all the way back to last year. Where it was working him with the dinking and dunking, because that's basically what they're doing right now.
Right,
But then what happened was, because they lost, I think, 5 of the last 6 games. They started out 11-0, if I remember correctly. But then teams started figuring out that you don't have to defend the full field against him because he's not throwing long. He's not even trying to. Mm. So it became easier to defend that, and it's kind of carried over to this season. They won because they got a... They got a
special teams touchdown.
Yes, exactly. It wasn't, you know, and I'm wondering what the heck's wrong with the Buffalo Bills right now. That's a game that they should have won if their offense is rolling, but they didn't. And Steelers won, and they come home up, you know, or 1-0 on the season. But there's been a lot of talk here about where it really is Ben Roethlisberger in terms of physically and able to do certain things that he was always doing in the past. So who knows? Maybe this is a breakout game for him where he's starting to chuck it downfield. But there is some concern because he hasn't shown it. He didn't show it on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. And if you go back all the way to last year, he wasn't showing much of it last year as well. So we'll see.
Okay.
For my money, Derek Carr is a better quarterback at this stage of their careers.
Okay. So, fair enough.
And it is early. It's one game. But,
right.
Well, you know, what was he? He was 18 to 32, so completed 56% of his passes, 188 yards, one touchdown, quarterback rating of 83.9. Two sacks. Again, yards per throw was 5.88, and I think yards that he actually threw, he averaged was 6.5 on his throws, on his 32 throws. That's not a lot. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Q Myers. I'm in Pittsburgh. Q is over at the Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sports Bar and Grill. Go check him out, the sports book as well. There's all kinds of sports, great food, great drinks. I've been there. I love it. And when we get back, we got Tashaun Reed coming, joining us from The Athletic, our good friend and colleague over at The Athletic. Get his thoughts on what might happen on Sunday. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Q Myers. Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Friday. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.